Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all of your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotton Adebayo.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Lars Iversen.
So first Ask OTC of the year, gentlemen. This is from Nathan. I've seen that Timo Werner and Eric Choupo-Moting have been linked with Manchester United today. Is there any truth in that? If not, what sort of player on the continent should Man United be looking at? Do you want to go first, Andy?
Well, we know where they're at in terms of their resource. They can't go and spend a fortune. I mean, this is all very deja vu for Manchester United supporters after Wout Weghorst the last winter, I suppose. But they can't go and buy a striker for 80 million or whatever. You know, they already did that, and he's taken his time to find his feet. So he maybe needs a bit of experienced help, which I think is quite acceptable way of approaching things. I think it's easy to look at this and say Timo Werner and Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting linked, therefore United don't know what sort of striker they've got, and this is typical Man United disorganisation, etc, etc. I suspect, reading between the lines, what has actually happened is everyone knows they've got some money to spend on wages and every agent is offering them everything. Werner is not getting a game at RB Leipzig and would like to get himself back into a position where he can push for a place in the Germany Euro 2024 squad. I think Werner would be pretty decent for United when you look at his pace, when you look at the fact that he creates stuff even when he's not scoring. Leipzig are going in a different direction, so it's not a massive reflection on him that he's not getting a game at the moment. Marco Rosa would just rather pick other players, and he would rather develop Benjamin Šeško, a player who nearly ended up at United himself before he went to Leipzig from Red Bull Salzburg. Choupo-Moting's an interesting one because obviously, Lars, radio phone-ins are already full of, I can't believe what United are doing, United fans despairing, etc., etc. Thinking of Stoke, Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting. He must have a great agent because of all the clubs he signed for, etc., etc., etc. The move of him going to PSG was never weird because it was Thomas Tuchel. Thomas Tuchel, who already knew him from Mainz, who already knew he was a player who you could bring in, had the technical ability and the intelligence to do a job when required, and wasn't going to kick up a massive fuss when he wasn't playing, which is something that's really, really important at a big club. And I think whatever striker they need at the moment, needs to not block the pathway for Rasmus Højlund. That's really important. But the other thing we have to say is before, as we said on the Ramble earlier this week, before Erik Maxim Choupo-Moting was essentially made surplus to requirements by Harry Kane turning up and being Harry Kane, you know, and he's a player who doesn't really rest, which really, really limits Choupo-Moting's role. Choupo-Moting was great for them last season. And when he was out in the running, Bayern missed him really badly. He's super intelligent at bringing other players into the game. He is reliable, he's available, and he scored his fair share of goals, 17 last season.
Do you want to add anything to that, Lars?
Well, so Choupo-Moting would be next in line in the sort of Udogie Ighalo of Walt Weghorst sort of line of Manchester United crisis options. Whereas I do, there's a perfectly logical case for bringing in someone like that, because you have Højlund, who you have a lot of faith in, rightly so, in my opinion, and you don't want someone to block him. I get that. But also, you are Manchester United, right? So I don't know just how constrained the budget is. It's possible that the budget is nothing, and that what you're just doing is looking for loan options, and then both of those two are names that it would make a ton of sense to look for. But if you have any kind of financial power at all, I think it would make sense for United to look at Sergio Gyurassy at Stuttgart because of the release clause that's been reported. He's had an incredible goal-scoring half to the season, as we've spoken about on OTC a number of times, I'm sure. But the release clause is reportedly like 17.5 million euros, which is, for a club of United's stature, you should be able to find that down the back of the sofa. And then you get a player who, you know, he's not a youth prospect, you know, he's 27, who is having an explosive sort of breakthrough moment in his season. Whether he could take that form to a higher level, we don't know. And I very rarely advocate clubs taking punts of this magnitude. But I think in this specific case, if he can bring in and take some of the burden off of Højlund for the next 18 months, say, while Højlund is still young, still developing, still finding his feet, you know, you don't need to bring in someone who can score you 20, 30 goals a season, because you've already spent a ton of money on Højlund. You're banking on him becoming that player, but you need someone who can be a credible number nine for the club and take some of the weight off of Højlund. I think Gyurassy is worth a gamble in that sense.
This question from Jonathan. With Southgate continuously looking past Tomori in regards to England call-ups, should Calvin Phillips be wary of a potential move to Serie A and Juventus?
Yes. I think it's a really good point from Jonathan, because Tomori, who has got himself in the squad now, and I think there's a better understanding of exactly what he is, how consistent he is, and what an important player he is. It was clear for a long time that Southgate just didn't really seem to rate Serie A that highly, maybe, because the reasons for leaving him out of the squad seemed like quite threadbare. Now, you could argue, in Tomori's case in particular, that, you know, in a few big Champions League games, he had difficult moments. I think particularly think of the two games where he came up against Chelsea again last season with Milan, although obviously he as a player and Milan as a team got past that to get into the semi-finals of the competition. So I would say is worth being wary. It was definitely worthy of being wary a year ago or 6 months ago. I think, Lars, that the biggest concern is, and they're clearly still looking for this sort of player, is interesting to see that a player who's just not played really since he's been at Manchester City. So I think, you know, people should be wary of Calvin Phillips to a certain extent, no, regardless of the ability that he's got. But you look at the teams that are interested in him. Juventus are interested in him. Paris Saint-Germain are interested in him. I think it underlines how many teams out there, how many elite teams out there, or close to elite teams out there, are looking for a defensive midfielder, which creates a big market for him. But also, it means he's got a much bigger choice than really you would expect of a player of this sort of caliber, but who hasn't played for a very long time. I mean, He's got a difficult choice to make in terms of the main thing is he needs to play, right?
Yeah, I think the thing that really complicates it is the timing, right? Because normally I would read this question and say, absolutely not. You got to think of your club career as the main thing in your career. You need to get playing again. You can't stay at the City where the manager clearly doesn't like you or rate you. You've got to find yourself a good place to be. If a good club in Italy wants to get you, then what Southgate thinks shouldn't really feature. That would be my normal answer. But we are also, you know, 6 months away from the Euros. And that I think it's understandable then that for a player who has been a big part of the England setup, who we know Southgate rates in general and wants to use, I guess at this particular moment in time, it does make sense for him to consider that. And if Southgate has a complete... Maybe he just doesn't have TNT Sports on his television, I don't know. If Southgate seems to have a blind spot when it comes to Serie A, then yeah, if there's a club in the Premier League who's interested in taking you on a six-month loan, maybe that would be better for him. But I think in general, I'd love to see him go abroad. I think that'd be great for him. If he's... might have to take a wage cut, but... if he's motivated to play football, then that's a really interesting option for him, but possibly after the Euros.
And this question from Andy, is the new, not from you, obviously, is the new Sevilla president going to help to instigate a change in fortunes? Because Sevilla got a new president just on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth underlining that, Don, because it is the sort of question I would send to myself. Jose Maria del Nido Carrasco has been appointed as president in replacement of Jose Castro, who has, in one way, presided over a very successful period for the club over the last decade, certainly trophies-wise for a club of that size. He's also been derided by sections of the fan base as a puppet for the previous regime and, of course, more recently, been in charge while they've sacked every manager and dug themselves into a huge financial hole with very poor recruitment. So this reminds me a little bit of, obviously a lot of people are pleased to see Jose Castro go, but I think I look at this and you think they've appointed a bloke who's already on the board for ages, who's already part of the firm. So is to an extent he's part of the problem. And certainly there are Sevilla fans out there who think that. You know, there are some who are happy to have him on. But at the moment, because the financial and sporting situation at Sevilla is so grave and the room for latitude is not huge this January. They haven't really got any money to spend. Really, what they're going to try and do is bin a few expensive contracts. They already gave a free to Fernando, who will go off and find himself a new club somewhere. Of course, the former Porto and Manchester City defensive midfielder, who has been really great for them, but, you know, not anymore, I think it's fair to say. And the fact that they've got an ageing team, as we've spoke about before, is a huge problem for them. They've got a few millstone contracts. They've spent a lot paying off players like Papu Gomez that they didn't want any more. And that's before we get to paying off all the coaches that they've fired. It's a really tough job for Del Nido Carrasco, and I just wonder if there's a little bit to be made of, it's a bit like when Sven-Göran Eriksson left England and Steve McClaren got appointed. You know, it's just more of the same, really, to a certain extent. But whoever is coming into the job, whether it be it from inside or outside the club, has got a mammoth task on their hands. Don't mistake that.
They clearly need a reset, right? I mean, as a club. Mm. And it's fascinating the extent to which they've completely lost their way. Now, clubs should never... It can be dangerous if you have a bright period in a club's history and then you become beholden to that methodology and you must only do those things forever and ever. But it's so clear that Sevilla used to be the masters of finding young, underrated players in the transfer market. And they've completely gone away from that. And like you say, they've assembled an aging squad that they've now had to pay off some, and you're still stuck with some of them, and you're in a situation now. I've got nothing against, you know, as a gentleman of in my sort of mid to late 30s myself, this is a fine time to be a human being. But if you have too many of those guys in your squad on big contracts, it becomes a problem because you can't really sell them. And then when you eventually have to replace them, you know, you don't have any money to do it with, so you end up in a financial problem. And it's so weird to see Sevilla gradually sink into this hole, because it's absolutely not what they used to do. And I guess Victor Horta is going to be a huge figure for them, I think, hopefully. The sporting director, who was last seen at Leeds, of course, in England, who is very highly rated as someone who has an encyclopedic knowledge of the transfer market and all of this. But he's going to need support, of course. And all this sort of stuff, it starts from the top, right?
And a lot of Sevilla fans would like to see the back of him as well. You know, it's just a mess at the moment. And I think it just reminds me of when they went and lost at Atletico Madrid just before Christmas, which was no disgrace at all, by the way. But it was one of those games where they were playing a team that they were on a reasonable, almost a level with in the relatively recent past. And it was a single goal hammering. They were never in it. And, you know, there were some Sevilla fans on the social networks going, look, Kike Sanchez Flores, who's only just arrived, by the way, he needs to be fired for even starting Rakitic, which is awful, because Rakitic is a club legend.
Yeah.
But he's old man Rakitic. He's not Rakitic anymore, is he? And that's their whole problem in a nutshell.
And I think so much of what they've done in the transfer market the last couple of years just screams that this is a club who are just trying to muddle through and are just trying to make short-term moves so that they can maybe get into Europe one more season. And that's, you can understand why you get into a mode of thinking like that, but I wonder if they might just have to be braver. And this is why a new president maybe has the mandate to make some big decisions and say, you know what, we're going to go younger now. And we're going to bank on the future, and we accept that that might mean one or two seasons where we're not quite at the level where we want to be, but we need to try to grow something. We cannot keep throwing contracts after older players, hoping that it'll get us something in the short term.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is from Cashman Dadman on the Football Ramble Discord. What's the next academy or geographical area that's on the cusp of producing a new generation of players? Maybe Real Sociedad, but is there anyone even younger? Thinking the next La Masia, South London, Parisian suburbs?
Well, Paris is always going to be a huge football production hotbed. I guess the difference is now that PSG, prompted by their superstar, are more open to trying to use those players now, which is...
Prompted by their superstar from the Parisian suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a look at where we live.
Yeah, look at our talent. By the way, I'm off. Something along those lines.
Not yet.
Real Sociedad are an interesting case because, of course, their history of, like, you go back, what, 30 years and 35 years, and they were only taking Basque players. Now, they turned away from that because they said that Athletic Bilbao were nicking all the best players from the region and nicking all their academy scholars. So at first, you go back to, you know, when John Aldridge signed and Kevin Richardson, Dalian Atkinson at the end of the 80s, those were the first sort of sweep of foreigners. At that point, they were only taking, they weren't taking non-Basque Spaniards. They were only taking Basques and foreign players. So I think when you look at them historically, like the amount of players that Real Sociedad have used from the academy, which is partly due to the coach I have at the moment, Imanol, who came from the academy, and the fact that they've succeeded in the Champions League, as Alex Johnson was telling us some weeks back, is massively impressive. But I think if you're talking about a generation of players, obviously part of that is down to luck, and part of that is down to the players that are there at any particular time. I still think you look at the players that Benfica produce year after year after year, the best players that they sell, they're good at trading, but they're the best at selling academy products for top dollar. And I think, you know, you can look at Gonzalo Ramos, João Félix, João Neves, by the way, will be the next one, the midfielder. He is on the way somewhere big this summer. He's playing an extraordinary season. Bear in mind, go back like 8 months, he was getting paid 32 grand a year because he was just on a trainee contract. And now he's on the cusp of something huge. I think he's going to be a great player. I wanted to ask you, Lars, about what FC Copenhagen are doing, because I think that's really interesting. Now, a lot of people looked, particularly after his contribution against Manchester United in the Champions League, Rooney Badaji, who is a young player with a big future. But I think what they're doing in terms of not just developing their own players, but wanting to... In fact, Badaji is a really good example because they took him from the Malmö Academy. So to sort of not just produce the best Danish players, but almost to become some sort of elite Scandinavian hub, if you like?
Yeah, no, that is something that they've been doing more and more. And actually, FC Copenhagen were pretty close to signing a young Erling Haaland, actually, when he was leaving his boyhood club of Brøndby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he ended up going to Molde, FC Copenhagen were one of the other...
Book?
So that's something they've been doing for a while, but they seem to have been putting more and more emphasis on it. They've got a couple of really exciting young Icelandic players as well, in addition to young Rooney. But so going to Denmark is a good idea in general. Like you say, FC Copenhagen definitely trying to become a bit of a finishing school for top Nordic talent. But I also want to look at Nordsjælland. FC Nordsjælland, who are a slightly different case, but a super exciting sort of talent hotbed if you want to be a proper sort of football hipster, because in part they use a lot of young players, but they also have this tie-up with the Right to Dream Academy, which is based in Ghana, which is essentially a talent factory. The most famous players to come through there so far is Mohamed Kudus, of course, who's decent, has come through from the Right to Dream Academy to Nordsjælland and then off to Ajax he went, and also Ernest Nuama, who is at Lyon now. Obviously, everything is bad at Lyon at the moment, but he is an absolutely thrilling young player who's going to have a huge career. I'm absolutely certain of it. He's also come from Right to Dream through Nordsjælland in Denmark, and then ostensibly to Lyon on loan from Molenbeek in a very, very suspicious deal that I think we've spoken about on OTC in the past. The point being, this link up from the Right to Dream Academy to Nordsjælland in Denmark and then off to European clubs, I think we're going to see more players going through. And it's not just the young African players that go through there. I mean, they've had Sheldrup, the Norwegian wide player, has gone through Nordsjælland as well. And I mean, Nordsjælland beat Fenerbahce, was a 6-1 in the Europa League. And the lineup on that day, I think they had like 7 outfield players that was 21 and younger. Like they're a very, very young team who have been doing some things in Europe recently. And I'm sure a few of those players will turn up at bigger clubs in time. So have a look at FC Copenhagen by all means, but also look at FC Nordsjælland. You'll see a few players who will become household names, I'm sure.
Well, a question from Tommy here that is part of the landscape of football discussion currently and will be over the next few weeks is which clubs will be most affected by losing players AFCON, the Africa Cup of Nations, and the Asian Cup over the next few weeks?
So the one that really stands out to me is Leverkusen. Not because they've got that many players, but they'll be missing Odilon Kosunu, they'll be missing Edmond Tapsoba, and they'll be missing Victor Boniface. Those are important players for them. And I think they've been so impressive. They've yet to lose. You know, they're undefeated 16 games in. They play incredible football. Xavi Alonso has like four firmly established himself as one of the great coaching talents of Europe. But they're losing two out of their back three, and the guy who they prefer to play up front. That's going to affect them, I think. And we have this every year when there's a team that's not named Bayern Munich who are atop of the Bundesliga. We're always just kind of waiting for them to stumble, and I do worry if this little interruption to their season could be a problem.
I think that's the key point, though, that you've made there, Lars. The fact that it's not the number of players, it's the stature of the players. So I think if you look elsewhere in the Bundesliga, Stuttgart, who have been the team of the first half of the season, they've been brilliant, absolutely remarkable when you consider how close they've come to relegation in recent seasons. Say with Guirassy, he's going off with Guinea, which I think is something that I feel that they can cope with better now than I would have said a month and a half, 2 months ago, because Undav has started scoring. Chris Fürich has been brilliant for them all season. Silas is starting to get more involved as well. But Guirassy will be a massive miss. I guess you could say training for when they finally sell him, which might even be before the end of this month. But I think one of the biggest ones that's going under the radar is Kim Min-jae going off for Bayern. Bayern's best defender. And he's going off to the Asian Cup. So that's absolutely huge. But as I've said earlier in the week, I, as an AFC Wimbledon fan, feel your pain. Our front two, Ali Alhamidi off with Iraq, Omar Bagil off with Lebanon. It's going to be a long January, man.
Well, mate.
So AFC Wimbledon was the unexpected answer to a question on Ask OTC. I mean, that has not happened before. Absolutely.
Actually,
brilliant
not
stuff.
So unexpected when you consider things. But thank you for listening to Ask OTC. And you can find Larsh on Twitter at Larsh Severston. Next week, Andy and I will be joined by Nikki Bandini. If you'd like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dotton, at Andy Brassel, and at OTC Pod, or you can email us otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.